We're back for another episode of a podcast series we're calling Radio Influencers for Radio Update. I'm joined by Reagan Ingstead. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I told you I would mispronounce that.
No, you did it right.
Okay, good. Reagan is with i3G Media and also Last Frontier and Basin Media. Where are you based out of, though?
I am based out of Valley City, North Dakota. It's where our headquarters is for i3G Media. I work alongside my father was, but now my mother is a shareholder in Basin Media Active and Last Frontier Media Active, Oregon and Alaska. So I also work alongside them. The majority of my job, though, is here at i3G Media.
Gotcha. And I was excited to talk to you because the whole thought process behind this podcast is to talk to people who are trying to move the industry forward, you know, thinking outside of the box ideas. And one of my big things is I don't like how radio's kind of writing off an entire generation of listeners, you know, like just kind of assuming that young people aren't going to listen to the radio anymore. And you being a young person in radio, I thought you'd be the perfect person to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that that's definitely something that's true. In college, I went to Valley City State here in Valley City, obviously. Yeah. And I was in a lot of marketing classes, and it seemed that way in school that when we talked about marketing, radio wasn't even considered a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And I found that really interesting, and it's a small college. I became super close with a lot of my professors and I brought it up, you know, like, why aren't we talking about this? And they kind of had that notion too, like, well, young people, it's not the way of young people. And I'm like, no, but it is. Like, have you seen the research on all of this stuff? Like, this isn't a dying industry. And I think that a lot of young people and people that are teaching young people have a preconceived notion that radio is dying or has been since when TV and video and all that stuff, radio was dying then. And I think it's kind of become a preconceived notion that it's old school or it's not relevant anymore. And that's just, it's really not the case.
Well, I appreciate you educating the educators then and bringing some of those stats. That's what I always tell people. It's like, they forget that, you know, everybody still has a radio, right? You know what I mean? 95, 97%. So before we get too far into that, though, I kind of like to start at the beginning talking about letting people talk about their origin story, how they kind of got into this crazy business. And I know somewhat of yours, but can you tell them, you know, how you got into radio?
Yeah, so I'm actually fourth generation. i3G Media stands for Ingstead Third Generation.
Oh, right.
Basically, going back to the beginning, my great-grandpa, Robert Ingstead, started KOVC along with other business owners in Valley City out of the Rudolph Hotel, and that was in 1936. So been around forever. And then after that, my grandpa, Robert Ingstead, took that over, and then the third generation, which would be my father, Robert Ingstead, my uncle, Todd Ingstead, and my aunt, Tally Cobble, they became ownership. And then I was brought in 3 years ago, and I became the fourth generation. And now my brother is actually interning here. He graduates in May, and he will also be, hopefully, a part of the fourth generation here. But so I guess the reason that I really wanted to come into radio was because I grew up with a room that shared a wall with my dad's office, and I heard him talk the good, the bad, the ugly, all sorts of business calls, maybe some that I probably shouldn't have heard, but kind of just everything. And I thought that business entrepreneurship was so interesting, and the way that he thought about things. And I found it so interesting to hear him talk, whether he was talking to me or talking on the phone to someone, whether we're in the car, whether I was in my room at home, just listening to him and his thoughts. I just found it so interesting. So as I got older and I went to college, And I went for marketing, and I wanted an opportunity to at least figure out if I wanted to be in radio or not.
Sure.
I started doing an internship here at i3G Media, and I kind of just dove into a million different things. So I've done so many different things, whether it's traffic, whether it's production, accounting, just so many different parts of the business to kind of be like, oh yeah, this is something that I'm very interested in and want to see grow and thrive and all of that stuff. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then right after college, basically the day after I graduated, I was full time. So it's kind of just gone from there.
Well, and you've got me beat. So I'm only second generation radio. So you got me beat by quite a bit, but I can relate to that story about being next to your dad's office. Cause there was a point where I actually lived next to the transmitter. We had an AM FM and the AM was next to my room. So I would hear country music all day.
Yeah.
Night.
And then pretty soon, you know, all the lyrics right, to every song too.
I can't help. If I ever go on Jeopardy in 80s, 90s country is the category, I will crush it. But yeah. Well, so once you moved into management, what's one thing that kind of surprised you about being in a management role?
So, like I said, right away, I was kind of like admin, doing a whole bunch of different things. And then slowly I moved into a management programming role. And honestly, I would say the biggest thing that surprised me was when I was not in a management role, I would make a list. And I like to have a plan. I like to be organized.
Yeah.
And check off that list. So I'd make my list and I'd get everything checked off typically in a day. And that does not happen anymore.
No.
if I can get like two or three things on that list done, that's awesome, because a million other things are coming up in a day that you just didn't see coming.
Yeah. I always say if I get through half of my list in a day, I'm doing good. And I'm the same way as you. I'm a to-do list guy. And it really bothers me that I don't get to it all in a day. But yeah, you just have to kind of accept it.
It's one of those things that right away you're like, oh, I'm behind. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that sort of thing. And then as you kind of learn and are in it more, that you just really have to go with the flow all the time. There's always a problem to be solved. You kind of become a jack of all trades because you're essentially the last person that things fall on. So if someone didn't get their job done, or there's a problem, if it's the middle of the night, you're the only one that woke up to a phone call, whatever it is, you are responsible for getting those things done. So it never really stops, which is a good and a bad thing. But I would just say the things are always changing, and that really surprised me of how kind of flexible you have to be with that. But I feel like as the years go on, it just becomes almost natural, like a routine. So,
well, and your broad experience being a lifelong radio person probably helps you on that jack of all trades, because you know a little bit about everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't even know half the stuff that I'm going to know, I'm sure, but just like I said, hearing my dad talk all the time, being around great mentors here, my aunt Tally, my uncle Todd, my uncle Tor. There's so many great mentors that I've learned from, and that I have. If I have a question on something, because I am, like you said, a young person in a management role, I can contact those people. And I was really set up for success by having those people as outlets to talk to.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've experienced any of this, but because I grew up in it, and also kind of moved up the ranks quickly because of that broad experience, there were times early on in my career, I think I became a PD in a small market by like 19 or 20. By 23, I was a program director in a larger market, and everyone that worked for me was probably twice my age. So it was a little bit of a hot button issue with me that they would sometimes assume that I was inexperienced or didn't know what I was talking about because I was so young. Have you experienced any of that?
Yeah, I would say to some extent that right away, I think, like as you said, when you're in a family position and then also young, it's kind of a double. It's you almost have everyone has a chip on their shoulder that you maybe didn't deserve to be there or something of that sort. But I think you just really have to prove yourself, and you might have to prove yourself even more than most people, that you are a hard worker, that you want everyone around you to be more successful than you are. You know, you want everyone here to be successful. You're not there to take anyone's job. You're just here to make everyone's life easier and as an outlet, to get things done. So I think once that was kind of figured out, that I'm not here as a threat, then and people saw me as an asset, it was like, oh, okay. But I would say right away that was definitely something. It was weird calling people and, you know, giving directive to someone that is twice your age. But I think as it's gone on, it's gotten a lot better.
Well, and the advice my dad, so my dad's a radio guy as well, and the advice he gave me early on, I called him and I was frustrated. I was like, man, you know, it's just so hard to get these people to do their jobs and to listen to you, and everybody thinks they're a program director. Everybody's giving you their opinion on what you should and shouldn't play. And he goes, Andy, they don't respect the title. You gotta earn the respect. They don't respect you just because you have this job title now. And
Absolutely.
it really helped change my thinking of, oh yeah, I was approaching it the wrong way, and that, you know, it helped me win those people over.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you mentioned, just having people, everyone has an opinion on the way that people should do things. And then when you are in that management role and then ownership role too, and everyone has their own opinion on how things should be done, but also being open to people's opinions and hearing them out to think, oh yeah, maybe that could be done differently. Or no, this is why we do that. Or this is why these are things are set up that way. Yeah, I agree. Just hearing people out and earning the respect of that title.
Do you think there's something that radio could be doing to attract more young listeners that we're not doing?
So this is a hard question, and I've thought a lot about this over quite some time. And like I said, my professors, like not really including radio, that sort of thing. I just think providing those opportunities, whether it's internships or whether it's when our local teams go to regionals or state. I'm from a very small town, so it's a big deal when our teams make the state tournament and stuff like that. We have the players from the team come in and record a little bit, get in the studio, record their voice. They can hear their voice on the radio, that sort of thing. Providing those opportunities to young people. And, you know, whether it's getting out to job fairs or, you know, getting out in the community and just this is who we are. We can provide you opportunities. Come work for us, that sort of thing. And kind of just getting over that preconceived notion that radio is dying because it's not. So getting them into the industry, showing them how cool it is to hear your voice on the radio, the community's listening to you, that sort of thing.
Well, and the ironic thing about that is that also helps you win over just any listener, no matter what age they are. Because one of the things that it's hard to remember when you've been in it for as long as we have, and a lot of your employees have been in it for a long time too. I always say it's easy to forget about the magic of radio because we've always been around it. But there is something that is really cool about going up and meeting. Going up and meeting an on-air talent from a radio station at an event, at a station event, or talking to the promotional staff and seeing the setup and maybe winning a prize. There's a magic to that that's kind of lost on some of us that have been in it for so long. But yeah, I think because it makes it tangible. So if we do that more in front of those younger audiences, then that's a really good idea.
Absolutely. And just we do a lot of promotions too, and we're starting to do even more that include our website and leading people that way. And we've been talking about getting out and broadcasting at an event. We do a lot of remotes and stuff like that. So getting out and broadcasting and showing people that Look at our new technology. We don't have to be in the studio right now to be broadcasting on our station. It's right here. And it is really moving along with the times. We just have to keep up with it. You know, we have to provide those opportunities for young listeners to consume radio in the way that they want to consume it.
Yeah. And that's what, if we're doing things the right way, where I call it surrounding the listener, like following them throughout the day. So when they're not in the car listening to the radio, they're listening on their app. When they get in their office, they're listening to the stream because they know that you're active on your website and they're checking that. Those are the exact same kind of things that will attract, because the challenge with winning young people over that maybe don't think of radio because they haven't, it's just not top of mind for them, is you got to be on the platforms they're already on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember talking about young listeners. I remember my dad saying to me once, I was saying something about one of my friends. I was in her car and she must have gone into like a store or something like that. And I changed all of her presets on her radio in her car to all of our local stations. And most of them already were, but there was like two or three that weren't. And I noticed that she was always listening to a competitor of ours.
Yeah.
And I said something to her like, well, you know, like that's our, you know, you should be listening to this station. This station's so much better, you know, kind of giving her crap about it. And I remember I told my dad this and he was like, you should just be excited that she's listening to radio. You know, it doesn't necessarily matter that she's listening to the competitor because soon she'll find out that this is our, like, this is the station that she wants to listen to, hopefully, and change her mind. But just be glad that she's listening to radio.
I do that in every rental car. Whenever I'm, yeah, whenever I'm visiting a client, I always change it, the rental car, to them. That way the next, I've at least won you one listener. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. My Tally and then the general manager, Aaron, we were in Alaska visiting the markets up there. And in the Uber, I was like, hey, we should listen to 94.7 Alternative Anchorage. And he's like, oh, I've never heard that. Then when he turned it on, he was like, this is pretty good.
I always thought it would be, oh, and that even brings up a better idea. I always thought it would be a smart idea to do a promotion with a rental car company to do that. But also, but now you made me think of Uber drivers. There's got to be some tie-in where you do that with Uber drivers or and Lyft folks to get them to be advocates for your station. Hey, maybe give them some promotional stuff to hand out, you know, to be advocates for the station. Cause they're driving around people who actually live in the market a lot as well. Do you think radio's long form stop sets have anything to do with us not attracting as many young listeners as we could?
I think yes and no. I think young listeners actually are kind of accustomed to listening to advertisements throughout the day, because whether they're streaming TV or streaming a podcast or music, they're hearing advertisements all day long. And a lot of those are unskippable advertisements, right? If you want to keep watching Hulu, you got to watch, unless you're paying for no ads, of course, but you got to watch that 2-minute ad to get to your show. There's no getting around it. Same with a podcast, stuff like that. So I would say that young people are actually probably more accustomed to listening to advertising all the time because so many different outlets have become full of advertising.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because I used to say in the beginning when it was just like a 15 to 30 second pre-roll and that's all you got on any of those platforms, I thought that was possibly retraining younger people to for the shorter form ads, but you're right, now that quickly went away because they all needed to monetize, they needed to make money and pay for their platform. So it's now gotten to the point where when you watch Hulu, it's a 2-minute ad block pretty much every time. So, and that's probably even going to go higher, so that works in our favor, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think something that works to our favor as well is you know, being in local radio, local content is so important. And it's honestly what sets you apart from those other services, because you're going to provide something to that listener that they're not going to get from national products. They're just not. They're not going to hear about your local pizza place that's having a buy one, get one tonight, or, you know, whatever it is. They're not going to, whether it's your garbage day, because we had a huge storm, garbage is getting picked up a day late. Whatever it is, they're not going to hear that from those sources. So that is also something I think we provide that keeps the listener engaged.
Yeah, no, you're 100% accurate on that. I always say, and that's the challenge when if you're a jukebox or you have talent that don't localize, that don't add that stuff, you're playing into that, and you're not playing to your point of advantage that against those digital competitors. So I think that's super critical. I meet a lot of young people who want to be YouTube stars and Twitch streamers and social media influencers, but very few who tell me they want to be in radio. Is there something we can do to, in your opinion, to change that, or does that come back to the being in front of them more?
Yeah, I think it kind of just does come back to being in front of them more. I think it's really the only thing that we can do is just kind of get them exposed to the industry.
Yeah, and the other thing I think is maybe instead of discouraging these other things, you know, if you're a wannabe YouTube star or wannabe a Twitch streamer or a social media influencer, you can make a living in radio while you also work on that. You
know Absolutely. What I mean?
Because we want those people who, podcasters, I always tell people, if there are podcasters in your market that are taking the initiative to do localized content, then that's somebody you should look at. Maybe they could, you could partner with them. Maybe they could work on air for you, as opposed to saying, you know, that's the enemy, you know, let's avoid that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we were talking about earlier, giving those people the opportunity to consume it the way that they want to, and showing people that we do podcasting. We are on the apps all the time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. So my generation, and especially the generations before mine, really like to put music into little boxes. You know, this is rock, this is pop, this is country. In your opinion, do younger listeners listen to music that way?
I would say, in my opinion, generally, I think that is still the way that music is consumed. But I think that there's a lot more room for a crossover in that. I mean, we saw Luke Combs' Fast Car. That was on a whole bunch of, it was on our top 40. It was on country. You know, it was all over the place. Morgan Wallen, that sort of thing.
Morgan Wallen's crossed over a ton, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot more room. I don't think that a lot of people listen. I just listen to country music. I just listen to rock music. I think it's kind of a variety of everything. So I would say that there's a lot more. Probably, I mean, people always joke, if you look at my Apple Music or you look at, you know, my Spotify, we can go from 2000s hip hop to, you know, Taylor Swift. So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily still that way. I would say it's a lot. There's lots more room for crossover there.
Yeah, because I just don't feel like they even think of it that way. I think it's just, is this a song they connect with or not? And they're not really cognizant of whether that falls under the country or pop or rock. Now, granted, obviously we have to have an idea of the sound of our station that we're trying to fit things within. But I think being a little more open to letting those Morgan Wallens cross over, the Luke Combs cross over, and vice versa. I mean, a lot of the conversations I've had lately are about Beyonce on country. You know what I mean? Oh yeah. There's a lot of, and I'm sure that's a big topic at CRS, because, you know, one of the biggest pop stars in the world released a country tune. And what do? You play it? Do you not play it? And stations are really weighing that, you know?
Yeah. It's super interesting. And then you also see artists doing that too. Having those, I mean, people have been dissing Taylor Swift for that forever. She was a country star. Now she's a pop star. You know, things like that. Well, Post Malone, maybe he might be coming out with some country music soon,
he's,
you know?
He's teased that for sure. So
but
it makes you think.
It's interesting because I think we live in a generation where there is so much room for, people aren't just rock stars anymore. They're not just country stars. They're not just pop stars. They kind of can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in Europe, it's kind of been done that way for a long time. They don't have they're not as strict on the boxes of the genres. It kind of ebbs and flows a little more than it does here in the United States. But
yeah,
so I don't know if that's something we could move towards at some point. But well, I really appreciate you doing this. You were the exact right person. My instinct was right. You were the exact right person to talk to about this, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking me to do this. It's honestly, I was taken by surprise, and I'm grateful for it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Reagan.
Yes.
Radio Influencers is a Radio Update production. New episodes are released on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern.